Keith Lowe's Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II, The Ethnic Cleansing of Ukraine and Poland, Operation Vistula, in which the Polish government uprooted Ukrainian speakers in the southeastern border region and transported them to, quote, to diverse locations throughout the areas in the west and north that had once been German, but which were now part of Polish territory, unquote. This was a catastrophe for the Ukrainian speakers, made all the more bitter by the betrayal of their neighbors who lusted after their stuff. This was the most stressful part for some. Continuing with Keith Lowe's Savage Continent. For others, the most stressful time was the period of uncertainty that came after they had left their villages and were forced to wait in shabby transit camps to see where they would be displaced to. This period could last anything from a few days to several weeks. Olga Zdanovich, a Ukrainian from Grazieva in Galicia, had to sleep in the open at the transit camp in Trzcinek for 3 weeks. The villagers from Bednarka were forced to stay in a camp at Zagorzani for 2 weeks, also without shelter and with little food to eat but that which they had brought with them. Rosalia Nadju was reduced to stealing fodder from local peasants to feed her animals. Anna Zuzik and Miloš Sokats remember sleeping underneath their carts alongside the livestock as the only way of escaping the elements. During this time, all deportees were questioned by Polish officials, the implication being that their very ethnicity made them potential UPA terrorists. It was at the transit camps that those who were most suspected of partisan involvement were arrested. For these people, the stress of displacement now became a nightmare. They were sent to prisons and internment camps, the most infamous of which was Jaworzno, an ex-Nazi prison camp that had been taken over by the Polish authorities. Here they were beaten, robbed, and subjected to a regimen of poor food, poor sanitation, and poor treatment. One of the several commandants of the camp was the infamous Solomon Morel, who was transferred here after his time in charge of the camp for Germans at Zagoda. As at Zagoda, prisoners were tortured by sadistic prison guards who hung them from pipes, pierced them with pins, force-fed them various liquids, and beat them with metal bars, electric cables, rifle butts, and a variety of other implements. In the Ukrainian sub-camp at Jaworzno, 161 prisoners died as a direct result of malnutrition, 5 from typhus, and 2 women committed suicide. For the majority of Ukrainians, meanwhile, the next stage was their journey to their new homes. Friends and acquaintances were split up and loaded onto trains along with their livestock. 4 families and their animals to each boxcar, and transported to the former German provinces of East Prussia, Pomerania, and Silesia on the opposite side of Poland. While the journey was nothing like as terrifying as the ordeal awaiting those who were sent to Jaworzno, there was a brief moment of panic when the trains passed within a few kilometers of Auschwitz. The journey could take anything up to 2 weeks, during which time the deportees became filthy and covered in lice. For all the uncertainty and discomfort of the journey, it was sometimes not nearly so unpleasant as their arrival in a new and unknown land. The way the system was supposed to work was as follows. Each family would be given a destination and would be expected to report to the local state office of repatriation when they got there. They would be allocated a property to live in, or sometimes they would be awarded this property in a lottery. Having been abandoned by their former German owners, these properties were supposed to be furnished. The idea was that the furniture that the displaced Ukrainians and Lemkos had had to leave behind would be replaced by furniture in their new homes. In reality, however, anything of use or value had long since been looted or confiscated by corrupt officials. By 1947, all the best properties had been taken by displaced Poles, leaving only derelict buildings, ransacked apartments, or broken-down farms with desperately poor soil. Families who arrived here often abandoned the places they had been allocated and roamed the countryside looking for something better. Their welcome was usually far from warm. Since the purpose of removing these people from their communities was to disperse them, families from the same village were not supposed to be housed in the same area. Indeed, often only nuclear families were allowed to stay together. Extended families were to be split up in the same way as the whole community was. And my interjection, during our reading of Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account, in one of the early shows, we made the point that the world system or the world economy was set up to achieve the aims of Auschwitz effortlessly, i.e., by economic means, that lever of the wage and of credit. Current illustrations are too numerous to name, but I think we can see the point by thinking austerity and foreclosure crisis. Urban communities in the United States are being dispersed by leading us down the path of debt